It was okay.
I'll pay attention next time.
So, welcome to Thursday Night Church. Why is everyone leaving? Where are you guys going? To youth group? Oh, bye. I like you guys better than these old boring people. Did I say that out loud? Sometimes I say my thoughts out loud and I don't mean to. Hopefully I didn't offend you tonight. Speaking of offense, can you just hold those for a second? Like out like this. Yeah, just see how long you can hold. Up. Yeah, that's good. See how long you can hold that. Today we're going to be talking about strongholds. Ah, come on. He's not very obedient. Anyways, who goes to Thursday night church? I don't know, but we're all here, so we're going to have a good time. Today we're talking about offense. So I can almost guarantee that I've probably offended each and every one of you at least at one point. Probably. If not, I will. You guys are new, so I will. Trust me. So we're talking about offense and strongholds. Speaking of people that are not that strong, you put your arms down. We're going to play a game tonight to start out. Mostly the reason is to kill some time because I didn't prepare that well. So I need everyone to stand up and come forward. There will be a winner to this game. Everyone. And by everyone, I mean everyone, even Nancy. So, my mother. So the way this game works, this is a game that we play in youth group, and the last person, man or woman standing, wins. So we're going to play a special game called Star Wars or the Bible. One of my favorite games, Star Wars or Scripture. So what you're going to do is we're going to put up a quote, and if you think it's from Star Wars, you're going to come over to this side. And if you think it's Scripture, you're going to come over to this side. And we're going to see, especially you pastors, you better get this right. Otherwise, I will mock you and embarrass you. So, everyone got it? Scripture on this side, if you think it's Scripture. Then you have to walk. I know it's hard. All the way over to this side for Star Wars. Okay? All right, let's get that music going. We can't do this without music. No music. All right, whatever. All right, the first quote is, "Who's the more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows him?" So you have to think about that. No Googling. You have about 10 seconds. So over to this side. Is this Star Wars side? This is Bible side. This is Star Wars side. Star Wars side on this side. Is it in the Bible? Pastor Josh, where is he? Don't follow Pastor Josh. Wow, you guys really don't know the Word of God, do you? Oh my gosh. All right, and the answer, now if you're wrong, you have to go sit down. All right, and the answer is Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Episode 4, A New Hope. Hey, you heathens, go sit down. All right. You ready?
Ready.
All right, I have a super good prize for this game, by the way. That's good. All right. Oh, thanks. Sorry, I'm in it. Thanks. All right. Should we let Pastor Josh play this, or will everyone just follow you? All right, next question. Let me look on you with my own eyes. Is it the Bible? Don't follow Pastor Josh. Or is it Star Wars? Now, he might be playing a mind game on you. Star Wars or the Bible? Now, Keith Craigie knows the Bible pretty well, so I don't know. There can only be one winner. Look, let me look on you with my own eyes. And the answer is Star Wars. You're all wrong. Wow, pastors. I am so ashamed. Wow, Nancy, you're doing great. All right, next question. Oh, don't make me go back and watch my father die. Is it the Bible or Star Wars? Oh, don't make me go back and watch my father die. Is it the Bible? Is it Star Wars? You can't be in the middle, Tammy. You're either hot or cold, or the Lord will spit you out. Wow, 4-4. This is exciting. Oh! All right, the answer is the Bible. It's Scripture. You may be seated, Mr. Craigie. Wow. Good try. All right. Next question. This will be a day long remembered. This will be a day long remembered. Scripture or Star Wars?
What episode of Star Wars?
Scripture or Star Wars? 4 and 5. You might be the winner, though. The prize is super good.
You could be the winner.
Yeah. All right, the answer is Star Wars. Sorry, Lee, I tricked you. All right, next question. We must suffer a lot. It's a tricky one. Is final answer Star Wars, or are you just getting lazy? Okay. All right, the answer is Scripture. You all lose. All right. So I'm going to give a bat to Tammy. You win a brand new women's softball bat. Here you go. And since you're new, Adrian, and for you guys, I have a half a piece, half a bag of gum with one missing, so almost a half. You two can split that. But you're going to need the bats later, okay? All right. So the reason we play games is to lighten your heart a little bit, to waste a little time so I don't have to preach as much. But tonight we're going to be talking about offense, and you'll see how the Star Wars quiz comes into play a little bit later. So we're currently in a series called More Than Conquerors, and we're talking about strongholds and how we want to rip those strongholds of the enemy down in our life. And the title this week is Offense. Speaking of offense, servant boy, in about 5 minutes I would like my refreshment. Is that offensive? Yes, set the alarm. So strongholds, as Pastor Josh talked about last week, are thought patterns that are contrary to the knowledge of God in our lives. And we have the power, using all of the weapons that God has provided, to tear down the strongholds in our lives. So, offense, my journey with offense. So, last week we had our prayer and fasting? And the first night was Sunday night, right? And we talked about personal revival. So Pastor Josh asked us to think about what God wanted to deal with us with in 2019. And ironically, this is the topic that came up, offense. And I said, God, this is one of the things that I'm really good at. I don't get offended. I'm a good-natured boy, right, Mom? Very good-natured. She's not kidding. It's true. I'm not easily offended. Mostly, I like to think the best of people. I like to, sometimes I make things up in my head and I pretend that they're not being mean to me. So I have a lot of different coping mechanisms for offense, good or bad. And I always try to think the best of people, right? But God's like, this is the one you're going to deal with. And literally on the way home from service that night, I got a text that really offended me. And I was like, okay, this has to be a joke that God is playing on me. But it wasn't, because Pastor Josh also asked me to teach on this after he was dealing with me on offense. But the cool thing is God, like I said the last time I preached, God oftentimes gives you a heads up about what you're going to be dealing with. And he's like, okay, you're feeling these feelings of offense. This is what you're going to do about it. And you're going to deal with it the right way. So start looking into how to do that. Now, then he started showing me areas in my life that I have been offended. And a lot of times, the enemy comes in with deception, and you don't realize that you're offended But you may have been offended for years and years and years and had bitterness in your heart. I have permission from Christina to share the story. Just so you know. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't. Is this going on the internet? So, going back to when we first got married, Nancy and Dan trained us very well over many years to put our shoes on the shelf when we get home. You take your shoes off, you put them on the shelf, you put them away properly. And it was a pretty big deal if you left them elsewhere in their house. Christina did not share these values necessarily growing up. She is a great Christian woman, but she leaves her shoes everywhere. Work shoes, workout shoes, ballet shoes, dress shoes, any kind of shoes. It came to a point where I started taking pictures because I'm making was making a coffee table book of all the different locations. You could ask her, this is serious. Of where she left her shoes. They'd be like right in the middle of the doorway. They'd be like in front of the couch, on the coffee table, everywhere but on the shelf. Anyways, so this is something that I've been working on for years. Like, how long have I been married? 12, 13 years? A long time. Anyways, I had built up much resentment in my heart, but had not realized it. And it frustrated me till no end. And God's like, that's the thing I want to deal with you about. And he said, what are you going to do about it? So I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it in a little bit, in a few minutes. But before we do that, we're going to watch a quick funny video, because the game wasn't funny enough. So let's watch a quick video while my manservant brings me a drink. So that was pretty funny. We're not going to talk about the internet that much tonight because that's a whole nother topic on how to behave non-offensively on it, the internet. My philosophy is just be funny. That's usually not as offensive as getting political. It's usually what I do. Anyways, we as Christians have the market cornered on getting offended, and we're going to look at this in a little bit. So here's some ways to get offended in church if you don't know how to already. These aren't funny. These are actual things that people have got offended about at this church. I'm going to let you in. I won't say how I know, but I know. Here's one. The first one. Pastor Josh never says hi to me in the hallway. Don't raise your hand if this is you. Pastor Josh doesn't use enough scripture in his sermons. Pastor Josh uses too much scripture. I've heard both of these the same week. Pastor Josh never talks about the end times. The leadership at New Covenant is too Pentecostal and focuses too much on the gifts instead of the word. The leadership at New Covenant is not Pentecostal enough and doesn't focus on the gifts and focuses too much on the word. Why didn't I get chosen to lead worship? Why is it always one of the bastions? I've heard it. I know, I'm going there. I never, ever get a thank you note from my pastor. Why wasn't I invited to the special room with all the secret snacks and drinks? If you want to know the room, I'll tell you, if you haven't been invited yet. No one asked me to do anything here at church. Everyone asks me to do everything here at church. And Amelia says amen. Why are all the New Covenant t-shirts V-neck? I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not going to point anymore, I promise. I don't like all the changes happening here. We're changing too fast. We're not changing fast enough. Everything here is built around young families. What about me? What about the older people? Why have you left us behind? Why is everything in the sanctuary gray? Did men pick everything out in here? Yes, they did. Now, this is a whole category unto itself, and we're not going to go through all of them, but the category is called flags. Why did Pastor Josh take the worship flags out of the sanctuary? Why did Pastor Josh take the American flag out of the sanctuary? Does he hate America? Why did Pastor Josh take the Christian flag out of America? I mean, out of the sanctuary. Those are both the same thing. No way my child was misbehaving in Sunday school. No one ever tells me what's going on. The communication here is terrible. Pastor Josh over-communicates. I've heard it all. That one was from me, the last one. So our first scripture tonight, we better get to it. We only have a couple minutes left, so I killed some time. Matthew 24:10-13. This is Jesus talking, so listen up. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Then Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. So that's why offense fits perfectly into this stronghold series. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong castle. Most of you who are married know if you're mad at your spouse about something, you build this invisible wall, right? So that's something that I'm super good at doing. So obviously, pride is one of my things that I deal with, right? That's not me. I don't get angry. I never fight. But I'll build a real nice wall for days and days to punish my spouse. But I never got angry, right? I never got mad. I hope she's not listening. She's going to know all my secrets. But this is where the strongholds come in. This is the power of Satan. He sets these little strongholds up in your heart when you get offended. And these are little places that he can stay in and hide and sneak around in and then come out and wreak some havoc and then go back into your heart and hide. Not literally, obviously. And again, these are how walls and strongholds are built up in our lives. I'm going to lay down a lot of scripture tonight. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The good news is these strongholds can get set up, but we have full power in Christ Jesus to smash down these strongholds, right? Amen? Smash them down. They take every thought captive. So like on the way home that Sunday night, that thought came in and I was able to smash it down right away before it had a chance to set up and build a foundation in my heart, right? Matthew 24:11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. This is something that he was talking about right after offense, right after we talked to us about offense in Matthew. The false prophets will rise up and deceive many. As soon as we start building up a fence in our heart. We start listening to those people talking about how Pastor Josh isn't such a great leader, or the worship at New Covenant isn't that great, or, you know, maybe you should try to find somewhere else to go, or starting to spin lies about people. You start listening to those things if you have those strongholds built up in your life. And a fence is a breeding ground for deception. So, why is it that the people who are closest to us and our pastors are the easiest ones to offend us, or it's easiest to get offended by them? It's because our expectations of those in the world, and a lot of times even at our workplace, are low. We're like, oh, they're not believers. So it's a little harder for them to offend us. But the ones who live with us, who are close with us, who are usually believers or who know God, it's easy because we have higher expectations to them. And then we put our pastors sometimes, I'm not talking about me because you know I'm pretty real. But like Pastor Josh or our leaders, we put such high expectations on them. Whenever they fail, it's easy for us to get offended, right? And that's a lot of times why offense is so prevalent in church, because we have such high expectations. Aren't you supposed to be a Christian? You know, why are you acting like this? So what's the definition of offense? Not from the Webster's. This is from the Jordan. The definition of offense, in my opinion, is betrayal. And betrayal comes when a person seeks out his own benefit or protection at the expense of the one he has a relationship with. I'll say that again. Betrayal is when a person seeks his own benefit or protection at the expense of the one that he has a relationship with. Now, there's two types of betrayal or offense. The first type is people who think they have been mistreated. In my opinion, this is 70 to 80% of offense, where people think they have been mistreated, where the person who did the offense or the abuse had no idea that they even offended you. No idea. 9 times out of 10, when someone who I respect, they come to me and say, hey, Pastor Jordan, you let me down in this area, or you hurt my feelings. 9 times out of 10, I had no idea that was even a possibility of that happening. So that's the first thing that we can do to resolve offense in our life, is stop, wait a minute, ask questions. Give it some time before you react. Figure out what exactly happened. So, and the second type is people who have been genuinely mistreated. And this happens to everyone. Everyone's going to get mistreated at some point. But here's where Jesus comes in and gets a little radical and starts talking about the way to treat those who have mistreated you. And this is a radical, radical thing in the time when Jesus came out and started talking about offense and forgiveness. Because he's coming from a place of the law where if someone kills your dog, you have a full right to go out and kill their dog. Or if someone kills your son, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You can go out and kill their son, or they're going to be stoned, right? This is a totally radical, radical thing that Jesus is talking about. And not dealing with betrayal leads to hatred. Sometimes you don't even realize when you hate someone. Hatred in the Greek is described as loveless, or not having love. So literally the lack of love in your heart. Now what is God? God just doesn't love us. God is love, right? So if you have hatred in your heart, what's that the lack of in your heart? That's the lack of God in your heart. It's not just the lack of love in your heart. It's the lack of God in your heart. If you have hatred in your heart, that means God might not even be in there. God might just be a tiny piece. There's no way for those both to coexist in your heart at the same time. I know it's hard, but it's true. God is love. We're going to do a parable. Not we, Jesus did the parable. I wish I could take credit for it. Matthew 18, 23 through 35 is the parable. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. Matthew 18, It actually starts at 21 through 35, but the first part of that is setting up the parable. So Peter, he always wanted to jockey himself in position with Jesus. He always wanted to be the smartest disciple or the best or the most loved disciple. And so Peter came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often should I forgive my brothers?" And he's like, "I'm going to tell Jesus, I know what it is. I know the answer." He said, "It's up to seven times, Jesus. Up to seven times I'll forgive my brother. Is that right?" And Jesus is like, "Peter, you're totally way off on this. It's more like 70 times seven. That's 490 times. It would be pretty hard for someone to offend you 490 times in one day. Unless you live with me." Just kidding. Maybe that would be possible. But so Jesus said in verse 22, he said, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." In verse 24, "When he began to settle accounts, one was brought before him who owed him 10,000 talents. So somebody did the math. It was actually John Bevere. A lot of the stuff that we're talking through tonight is from two authors, two books. One is The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. I recommend that everyone read it. It changed my life. Totally changed my life. Bait of Satan by John Bevere. So I'm ripping off from that. The other book, super good, written in the first and second century AD, and all throughout history, is the Bible. Super good book. Has a bunch of authors. 66 books is in it. So it's a good value. You can get free ones online. So Jesus wrote quite a bit of that, and most of the stuff on offense comes from Jesus himself. Super good author. I'm serious. So the king wanted to settle accounts. So he brought in this dude with 10,000 talents. So John Bevere says 10,000 talents equaled about $10 billion in that time. That's a lot of money. If you don't think it's a lot of money, talk to Pastor Josh about phase two of the Nehemiah Project. He would be happy to talk to you about that. $10 billion, that's a lot of money. But he was not able to pay as the master commanded. And then the king said, "You know what, I'm going to lock you up and put you in jail." And the servant said, "Master, master, have patience on me. Please forgive me, please forgive me." And the master was moved with compassion and released him and forgave his debt. Right? So that's obviously an example of God forgiving us. But then the servant went out. He's obviously a rich dude if he has good enough credit to borrow $10 billion. That's like got to be at least a 760 on the Experian credit score. Now, you don't necessarily, it's a lot of money to borrow $10 billion. So he had to be rich. So he had another guy who owed him money. So he went out to that other guy and he said, he took him by the throat, the Bible says, and he said, "Pay me the money that you owe." And his fellow servant fell down into his feet begging him and said, have patience with me and I'll pay you." But the other servant would not. He went and threw him into prison until he should pay his debt. Then, when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master. And this is what the master said to him in verse 32. "You're a wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I have had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So this is getting pretty serious. And this is one of the only parables in the Bible where Jesus doesn't wait to be asked what the parable means. He just comes out and says it. He says in verse 35, "So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother of his trespasses." Now this is Jesus talking. This is not a commentary. How many of you know that Jesus forgave an unpayable debt? Amen? Jesus forgave us before we even had the chance to get down and beg for forgiveness. These are pretty serious words. My heavenly Father will also do that to each of you. Jesus talked about hell twice as much as he talked about heaven. A lot of people don't realize that. And obviously that's an analogy of hell when it says in verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay what was due to him. It's pretty serious stuff, forgiveness. A quote is, a person who cannot forgive is a person who's forgotten what they've been forgiven of. If I can't forgive Christina for leaving her shoes around the house, I've forgotten the great forgiveness that God has done for me. And the way that you forgive is the way that you are going to be forgiven. You've got to think about that. Think about the Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer. It starts like this. God says, pray like this. Let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or some versions say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's a big chunk of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He's not just saying, please forgive us and help us to forgive others. He's saying, forgive us, forgive, help us to forgive others like you forgave us, God. Or please forgive me how I forgive others, even more so. So be careful how you forgive people, because that's the way that God's going to forgive you. So I need, where's my bat people? Adrian and Tammy. Can you guys come up here for a second? You going to jump? You might want to go around. Come on up here, buddy. There we go. You're so young. How old are you, Adrian?
25.
25? You're so young and spry. Now, do you work out on a daily basis? You look kind of like a... I need someone who works out. Does anyone work out? Who works out at least 3 times a week? Raise your hand. I need a guy. Is there a guy? Josh T., you work out. Come, you're in workout clothes. Get up here. Come here, Josh. Oh, wow. That was at least a 3-foot vertical. All right, come over here, Josh. You're going to wear this hat. Can you take your glasses off? All right, you guys are going to be the bat people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to trespass against Josh real quick. Now, Josh, you're recording, right? Do I have permission to do whatever I want to you?
Sure. Am I supposed to be able to see?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
All right, just stand with your hands down, get loose. I'm going to trespass Josh. You ready? Yeah, that's a good idea. Ready? All right. Let me do it again. You ready? He's a pretty strong guy. So if Josh didn't work out on a regular basis, that might hurt a little bit, what I just did to him. He might have hurt his back or maybe his knee. Like if I did that to Mama Nancy, who's in her 50s, 40s, that might hurt a little bit, right? But Josh, he's a young guy. He works out every day. He trains. He's strong. Now, Tammy and Adrian, yes. You feeling aggressive tonight? Feeling good? Why don't you just take a couple swings at Josh anywhere on his body, as hard as you want. Just go take a swing. Just whack him. Whack him good. You can't? What is wrong with you? Here. This is your chance. He gave us permission. So if I took a big swing at Josh, he might, even though he works out, he might be injured, right? He might really, really be injured. So this is the deal with the fence. If I just push Josh like this, oh, he might not be offended. He might not be injured, right? Some offenses we can brush off. We're healthy, we're good, we can brush them off. But everyone is vulnerable to the offenses. Even if you're healthy spiritually, you can still be injured, right? You can keep this bat, this woman's softball bat. Josh, thanks. You can wear the helmet for the rest of the week,
really?
Even
awesome.
To work. All right. Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, Reed. Did you want to take a shot? Okay. I didn't think you would. So the deal is, there's a lot of things that happen to us on a daily basis that we're able to brush off if we're healthy spiritually, like Josh is healthy physically, right?
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you're not healthy spiritually? Those little things, the little pushes and tugs, they're going to injure you. They're going to hurt your back. You're going to hurt your knee. How many of you guys, you know, play basketball once a year, right? You feel it. You feel it the next day. But if you're in good shape, those things aren't going to hurt you. But what happens when you're really injured? It doesn't matter if you're healthy or not healthy. There's some horrible, horrible things that people can do to you. So how do we get healthy? How does Josh get healthy again after having his knee broken by Pastor Jordan? Is Pastor Peter here? He's working. Pastor Peter is a physical therapist. So in the same way, when our bodies are injured, we need to go to the physical therapist. Right? Amen. It's good for the body. So what's spiritual physical therapy? Spiritual physical therapy is knowing the Word, right? Reading the Word, spending time with God. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace you have if you love my word, and nothing is going to offend you. So if you're in shape spiritually like Josh is in shape physically, you're going to be able to brush those things off. Nothing will offend you, right? You're going to be able to walk with the authority and the peace and the comfort of God in your life. But when there's real transgressions against us, how do we get healed, right? You're going to have to do some surgery. You're going to have to look within. You're going to have to go to rehab. Now, who's been to physical therapy? Raise your hand. Who thinks physical therapy is fun? Keep your hands up. June, that's really weird. Nobody likes to go to physical therapy. Even though Pastor Peter from OrthoSports is a great place to go, it's no fun. They make you exercise. They make you all these weird positions, and sometimes it hurts, right? He makes you move things that hurt. It's the same way spiritually to recover from offense. Listen to what David did. Now, this is going to hurt David. Psalm 35, 11 through 14. "Evil people testify against me and accuse me of crimes I know nothing about. They pay me back evil for good. I sink in despair. But when they were sick, I was dressing in mourning and I deprived myself of food." Listen to how David responded to these people that offended him. "I prayed with my head bowed low, as I would pray for a friend or a brother. I went around bent over in mourning, as one who mourns for his mother." It was painful for David to pray that for his enemies. Right? When you're offended, you can pray, you can say, "God bless them. God bless the people who transgressed against me. Bless Pastor Josh, he really offended me. Bless my wife," you know. That's not how he's asking you to pray for people who offended you. He's asking you to get down on your knees and weep and mourn and pray for them like they were your brother or sister. And that is how the healing happens. That's how you get healed of your offense. I can guarantee if you get on your knees and pray for the person who offended you every single day and weep over them and pray for their soul, pray for their children, their family, their businesses, their health, by the end of that week, most likely, you're not going to be offended anymore. Now, you might say, "Pastor Jordan, but you don't know what this person did to me." Right? What have we done to Jesus, right? We've sinned when we knew what was right and wrong. We've been disobedient. He was hung on the cross and tortured, right? But he forgave us. While he was on the cross, what did Jesus say? He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He wasn't just talking about the Romans who were torturing them. He was talking about us. We hadn't even had a chance to be born yet or say we were sorry or ask for forgiveness. But God was saying, "They don't know what they're doing, Father. Forgive them. their sins are causing this, causing me to die and be crucified. This is the gospel. But I forgive them. Jesus said, I forgive them. In Luke 17:1, he said to his disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come. People are going to do wrong to us no matter what, how righteous you live, no matter how good you act. I tend to live in a utopian world in my head that thinks everything can be perfect as long as I'm loving and kind. But that's not true, unfortunately. And the word offenses in the Greek is called skandalon, which means a trap or a stick or a snare. That's like a little like a box trap that you put a stick in. So the devil is, the Satan is trying to trap us, trying to trick us with offense. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The Bible goes so far to say that you can be taken captive by offense, and now you're doing the will of the enemy. That's some pretty heavy stuff. None of us would ever want to do the will of the enemy, but when we're offended, we are. But the good news is, like you said in verse 26, that we're going to come to our senses and escape the snare of the enemy. Matthew 6:15, I don't know if I gave this one to Dave, but it says, if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It doesn't say might not. It doesn't say, well, maybe if you just at least treat them kindly. It says he will not forgive you of your sins. This is a mandate that Jesus gave us. I'm going to go as far to say, if you're living offended and with hatred in your heart, this is going to be tough. I might say that you might not be a Christian. You might not be saved. You might not have Jesus in your heart if you can live with the sin of unforgiveness and offense in your heart. It's heavy stuff. But if you feel like there's a wall between you and God, you're not hearing from God, you're not seeing God, you don't feel the Holy Spirit, maybe there's offense in your heart. Maybe there's something that's taken the place of God. Maybe the lack of love for others is the lack of God in your life. But the good news is today, you can walk out of this room totally free. And I'm just about to wrap up. You can walk out totally free, and you can start the process of freedom, and God will meet you in this place. The topic of offense, it's the gospel in a nutshell. He's going to meet you in the things that matter to him. Jesus talked about offense over and over and over when he was here on earth. It was obviously important to Jesus, obviously. And it's important to him that you get free of offense. And you might not even realize who you're angry at right now. He just doesn't want you to forgive him in your heart. He wants you to go to that person. So I called Christina when I had this beautiful revelation. And I said, Christina, you can leave your shoes wherever you want in the house. And I was serious. You can leave them wherever you want. I'm going to pick them up and put them on the shelf. And I'm going to do it with love. And I meant it too. And literally this thing that's been bothering me for 12 years is gone from my heart. Totally gone. And it sounds stupid and it sounds trivial, but I'm totally free. It doesn't bother me. I just pick them up and I'm smiling. I put them on the shelf because I know that I'm set free in this area. And it's not up to Christina to say I'm sorry. The person who offended you doesn't have to apologize. It's up to you to ask for forgiveness for holding bitterness in your heart against that person. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter if they never, ever, ever say they're sorry. It doesn't matter. We're the ones that are responsible to show God how we forgive others, because that's the way that he's going to forgive us. If that's something you want today, if you want to get set free, just come to the altar, get on your knees, ask for forgiveness, ask God to help you be set free of offense. And then start to pray. Pray for that person who offended you. and then go talk to him and apologize for taking up offense. And watch what God does. Amen? Amen.
I believe that the word that Pastor Jordan shared with us tonight is so foundational to not just the work that God wants to do in our hearts in this church, but to the work of the kingdom. That if we don't get offense and forgiveness, then we just miss incredible amounts. Well, we miss the point almost completely. And I think it's tempting for us to try to do what Pastor Jordan talked about, to either build those walls that we live in that are unoffended and pretend like it just doesn't exist. But that denies the work of God in our hearts and denies the power of freedom that comes when we have the option to do something about it. And and I think it's so important that we call sin what it is. An offense is sin. Allowing it to linger in our lives is sin. And there's a real powerful verse. Our theme for the year is simple. And sometimes when we look at offense, sometimes it's simple. Hey, you know, that kid in fourth grade that hit me with their backpack on the bus, like, I can get over that. You know, we don't know how to find that kid. I forgive him. We can move on, right? And some of us still have some of that, or multiple. It adds up, and I'm not discounting the power of that offense to hurt us or to hold us captive. But I think it's even more of a mountain that we look at when we know that there's an offense, and we're going to go home and see that person tonight. Or tomorrow we're going to face them at the office. Or the next time the family gets together, we're going to see that uncle that picked on us or abused us. And we think, I just don't know how I'm going to get to there. I don't know how I'm going to get from here to there. From offended to not offended. And it seems such a big thing to go to that person and ask for forgiveness for offense when they're the one that did something wrong. But I think it might just be as simple as just taking God at his word and starting with what we do have. And what we have tonight is the ability to repent, which means to agree with God and to confess our sins. Scripture says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And I think we don't do that enough. We're very keen on confessing our sin to God, but pride gets in the way of confessing it to others. And if we're going to go to that person who hurt us and offended us, and we're going to see forgiveness just borne out in our lives regardless of what they do and what they choose or how they choose to respond. If we're going to do that, we've got to go having our hearts dealt with. Or we might pick up another offense. Like, I said sorry for you offending me and you're not even recognizing you did anything. But we can do something about it tonight. And so I just want to encourage you, let's take a few minutes. Nathan, if you would maybe come and close us. Worship team, you can play as much as you want, or we can put some music on. But I want to encourage us tonight. We've had a chance to kind of examine our hearts. And whether the offense is large or it's small, I want to encourage you tonight to take the opportunity not to dump on or to gossip or to talk with somebody about how you were offended, but to talk about your sin, to confess your sin, to go and say, I am offended with, or I was, God's dealing with me, I was offended with. That was my sin. That is my sin. And just get it out there so that someone can pray for you and you may be healed. Because God wants to bring freedom into our lives, and we can do something tonight about it. That's what Pastor Jordan was talking about when he said, we can walk out of this place free. The work of it might take some time. You might run into Scotty from fourth grade 2 years down the road. But you can walk out, you can run into Scotty from the fourth grade 2 years down the road free. And you can, and your pride is done, and you can say, hey, Scotty, remember when you swung the backpack at me? No. Well, I've carried that for years, and I hated you. And that was sin, and I ask you to forgive me. Maybe Scotty's a believer, and he gets it right away. Maybe Scotty goes, oh, my gosh, I never realized I did that. Why in the world would you say sorry to me? And you're like, that's an opening to preach the gospel. Yeah. Right? What we're doing is we're inviting the gospel to matter in our lives so that it can matter in others' lives. Yeah. But I'm just saying this. Can we simply do this? If you have offense, and you know you do, to go to somebody tonight and confess your sin to someone. Get it out there so that God can begin to deal with it in a powerful way. Can we believe him that it could just be that that one act could invite the presence of God in such a powerful way that this church would never be the same because the 50 or so people that are here tonight did it. Because it matters that much. Nathan, would you come and close us?
Amen. Bear with me for one moment, and then you can go and do everything that Pastor Josh was talking about. And in that, everything that God's put on your heart. Ushers in the back for your giving. If you are a guest, please visit Guest Central in the lobby. We'd love to greet you and give you a gift. We're very glad that you're part of what is going on here. Small groups, check the website. The end of the semester coming, the beginning of a new semester is arriving very soon. As far as Sunday goes, we do not close. So I know some of you are aware of the snow coming. We don't close. So if you can get here, let's worship together. And if you know people who are like, I don't know if I can do it, get them there. We don't close. If the building falls down, we close. But or we go somewhere else. But we don't close. All right. So let's pray and thank the Lord for the opportunity to give in tithes and offerings. And then let's do what God's put on our hearts. All right?
Yeah.
Father, we are grateful. Thankful, Lord, that you know us. You know us so well. God, you know us even well enough to ask us to do these little things that seem insignificant, such as seeking out someone who may have offended us. Father, but you know the outcome. You know what it means for us to be free. And that's why you sent your son. You know what it means for us to have freedom, and you know what it means for us to be a part of setting other people free. Father, that is a little thing that we get to be a part of that has huge implications. Father, I thank you that we get the opportunity to give, Lord, to be a part of that as well. And Father, I know that you know our needs, Lord, and you meet each and every one of our needs, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.